Hi friends, welcome back to the show. Today's episode is sponsored by Fora. Fora has been our sponsor for the past several weeks, and I absolutely love their blood glucose and ketone meter. I use it all the time, and it is my absolute favorite. Not only is it more accurate than other brands because of their advanced gold strip technology, it is also Bluetooth enabled and comes with an app for your phone. Testing your glucose and ketones is seriously a game changer when it comes to your health. It's like a window into what's happening metabolically in your body. You can start to customize your diet to you. You can know exactly what's happening to your blood glucose when you eat meals, if you're tired one day, if your period's coming. It can really help you to start to connect the dots with your symptoms and help you keep track of your progress. And today we are going to learn how to get into ketosis. So testing your ketones is essential for the beginning of the process. You need to know if you're in ketosis. And let me tell you a little secret, those urine strips do not work. So head to www.fora-shop.com. That's fora-shop.com to get the Fora 6 Connect meter. This meter comes with the lancet and the option for 50 or 100 glucose and ketone strips, which is such an amazing deal. And they're also giving all my listeners to the show 25% off this meter with the code Danielle25. If you need to know how to spell that, it will be in the show notes. And you can also get 10% off all products if you use the code FORAXDANNY, that's FORAXDANNY. And so if you need those replacement strips, you can use that code to get those or anything else that Fora sells. So thank you so much to Fora for sponsoring today's show. Let's dive in. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. And if this is your first time joining us, welcome. I am so happy to have you here, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to send you to a previous episode. If you have not listened to last week's episode yet, episode number 69, I really want you to go listen to that episode if you are someone who wants to start keto. So in last week's episode, I talked all about the fact that some people go into ketosis way too fast. They make this transition really fast. They go from a high carbohydrate diet or a standard American diet or even a vegan and vegetarian diet, and they go all in and they jump into keto or carnivore like head first, and they really run into a lot of problems. When I told my mom about this episode, she's like, I know someone who that happened to. This is a very, very common thing, and it's becoming more common because people are hearing all the benefits of being in ketosis and carnivore for different health issues like autoimmunity and PCOS and insulin resistance. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's me. I need to do this. I need to do this right now. And let me tell you, that was me. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I started keto with a 3-day water fast. Do not do that. Do not recommend. Don't do it. It was a terrible mistake. I felt horrible. I had reactive hypoglycemia. My blood sugar was low. It was not a good time. So what I want you to do instead is go back and listen to last week's episode, episode 69, and get those strategies for how to start to prepare your body to be in ketosis. So we are talking about slowly ramping up the fats. We're getting rid of those toxic fats that block our fat burn, like canola and soybean oil. We're talking about getting rid of these refined grain products and sugar, and so things that are like packaged and processed. Things like cereals and breads. Yes, bread. I'm talking about bread. It's got to go. And granola bars. And I'm so not in touch with what people eat. It's really hard for me to do these examples. But anyway, these are the foods that we need to start taking out. And then slowly you'll want to improve your digestion. I give tips on that in the episode. And there are quite a few other different hacks. And this means things like changing the order in which you eat your food and adding some apple cider vinegar before your meal. There's all different things that you can do to start improving your blood sugar, start preparing your body to better tolerate these carbohydrates. And also, I guess last week I didn't really talk about adrenal-wise things you can do. And the main thing when it comes to adrenals is stress. So thinking about things that cause our body stress, of course, there's mental, emotional stress. So, you know, if you need to put up boundaries and cut certain people out of your life, but then there's also that stress that we can't get rid of, right? Like we're still in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, maybe you lost your job or are going through a breakup. Those things we cannot, you know, get rid of or take out of our lives, but we need to improve our ability to be more resilient to stress. And we can do that by starting a regular meditation practice or breathing or tapping, which is often referred to as emotional freedom technique or EFT. Breath work, I mentioned, getting out in nature, getting in the sunshine, laughing with friends, taking a bath, like doing this self-care. And lowering stress also looks like getting rid of crappy food and stopping these huge blood sugar spikes, because that is really, really stressful on the body. Nutrient deficiencies, also really stressful. Getting enough water is really important. So there's so many things we can do to start to reduce the amount of stress that we have and improve our resiliency to stress. So that might also look like exercise. So adding in some short-lived beneficial hormetic stressors. I love that word, hormesis. It means that the body is going to adapt to these stressors and come back stronger. So remember, if your adrenals are really fatigued, we're not going to be like running a marathon. Instead, we're going to want to look at rest-based interval training. So that means doing a short amount of working out. So that might be like a HIIT type thing. So you're maybe doing a tiny bit of cardio, but more likely I would recommend doing intervals of weights. And then the rest part is, it means that you're going to rest in between sets so that your heart rate comes down all the way and that you are out of that stress state, and then you do your next set. So instead of high intensity intervals, we're doing rest-based interval training. This is all going to help the adrenals and, of course, getting a lot of sleep, going on walks, all these lifestyle factors that I have talked about in the podcast before. So that is how we can better prepare ourselves to get into ketosis. And so it's not such a shock for the body, because it's going to be a shock anyway, because what we're going to be doing with ketosis is we're going to be pulling our body out of this sugar burning state. So how I like to explain it is that the body has two options for fuel. The first one is sugar, the second is fat. So the body is always going to prioritize burning sugar first. So if sugar is there, it's going to burn that first. So we come from this society where carbs are everywhere. They're literally everywhere. They're so hard to avoid. So we're always influxing our body with sugar. And so what happens is that the body starts to lose the ability to burn fat for fuel because glucose is always around. And what happens when there's glucose always around, we have elevated insulin levels. Insulin, remember, is a hormone that sends signals to the body to store fat. So we cannot be storing fat and burning it at the same time. So insulin essentially blocks fat burning. That's all you need to know about that. So if we have high sugar levels all the time because we're always eating carbs, we're always going to have elevated insulin levels, which is going to cause insulin resistance because that's just what happens. And this insulin and insulin resistance is blocking the body from burning fat. So now we are stuck with one source of fuel. We're stuck with sugar and glucose as our only source of fuel. So we tend to think that we need sugar. We tend towards having carb and sugar and starch cravings. We need to eat every few hours. Our energy is always crashing because it's very dependent on these carbs. And then those long-term things happen where we start to have dysregulated hormones. We start to gain weight. We're unable to lose weight. And then all of a sudden, we're like, oh my goodness, we need to do keto because I see all these symptoms are caused by insulin resistance and all this stuff. And I want to do keto. So when you do ketosis, what's happening is that we're starting to lower the amount of sugar in the blood. That means we're also going to lower the insulin in the blood so that the liver is triggered to make ketones. So when the insulin gets really low, the liver will make ketones. And then your body will hopefully learn to use those ketones as fuel. We have to teach it again how to use fat for fuel because it sort of lost that ability. And so ketones are kind of like these free fatty acids. And so the body is able to burn body fat and ketones for fuel. So ketones go in the fat category when we're talking about fuel. So what's happening when we're going into ketosis is that we're taking our only fuel source, which is glucose, because remember, we're sugar burners when we start this, and we're lowering it. We're dropping it off. So now the body's freaking out because it thinks it has no fuel. So it's going to go through this period of adaptation, which is also known as the keto flu. And basically it feels like a hardcore sugar detox sort of symptoms and stuff. So you're starting to feel symptoms of sugar withdrawal and of carb withdrawal and low energy. So when you start ketosis, you essentially are feeling all these sugar withdrawal symptoms, which are things like headaches, fatigue, nausea, depression and anxiety and mood symptoms, irritability. You might have breakouts. You might have worsening digestive symptoms. You might have worsening carb cravings. And interestingly enough, it's funny that all the symptoms that get worse are the symptoms that end up getting better when you stay off of sugar. So it's kind of like all the symptoms we want to get better, even like sleep. Sleep will start to get worse before it gets better. Your skin breaks out before it starts to clear up. So all of these symptoms, I want you to kind of welcome these symptoms in because that's the way you kind of know you're on the right track. And so when I was getting into ketosis myself, I was feeling some of these symptoms and I remember like always looking them up to be like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling this. Like, is this normal? But also like, I was kind of like, okay, cool. At least I'm doing it right. So this is not a fun time, but if you go slowly, you do all the steps I talked about and then continue to do the process that I'm going to talk about in a bit, it won't be quite as bad and it won't send you to the hospital like what happened to the Instagram follower that inspired last week's episode and, you know, I'm sure countless others who have been sent to the emergency room because they've had issues from doing keto too soon. So anyway, I'm trying to help you to kind of bridge this gap and get over this hurdle because on the other side, there is so much to be gained. So when you're going through this keto flu, you are going to feel these flu-like symptoms. So here is a list from Healthline. So I will do the Googling for you and I'm going to list all of the symptoms that they list. I'm going to say them all. So nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, headache, irritability, weakness, muscle cramps, dizziness, poor concentration, stomach pain, muscle soreness, difficulty sleeping, and sugar cravings. So this is essentially the symptoms that you're going to feel. And these will last depending on the person and depending on how fast you kind of get into ketosis. It will last for a different amount of time, but also your ability again to burn fat for fuel. And sometimes people can be in this stage for quite a long time. Maybe they're inadvertently spiking their glucose and insulin and kind of like setting themselves back. So that is why it's really, really important when you're going through this keto flu and when you're trying to get into ketosis, this is why I recommend the blood glucose and the ketone meter. It's so helpful. So when I first started keto, I actually started with using those urine strips. And I'm going to tell you why the urine strips suck. So first off, you pee onto a strip and it turns a different shade of pink. The darker the pink, and it's just kind of subjective, you know, the darker the pink, the more ketones they say that you're producing. However, there's no specific number on there, so you don't know, but also you're testing a ketone that is being excreted as a waste product. So you're testing the acetone, if I'm not mistaken, that you're excreting because you haven't used it. So we don't care. Like, it's not that important what you're excreting. Yes, it's good to know, like, okay, my liver is making ketones. But what we want to know is if your body is using these ketones. So a much better ketone to test is actually beta-hydroxybutyrate, which is found in the blood, which can be tested in the blood, and it's much, much more accurate, which is what the 4S6 Connect tests. So it tests the beta-hydroxybutyrate. It doesn't test whatever is being wasted. It tests what's actually in your blood. So what happens with these urine strips is that what will eventually kind of what starts to happen is that the strips will start to get darker and darker pink. And then as your body learns to use the ketones more, it will go less and less. So it will look like you're not producing ketones anymore. So the strips will be like clear. And you think to yourself, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm not in ketosis anymore because I'm not producing ketones. But what's actually happening is that your body is actually using them instead of excreting them through the urine. So that's why I like the blood testing, and it also gives you a number. So you know that if you're kind of like in ketosis or not. So again, if go back to episode 68, all about testing, if you want to learn about how to test and when to test and why to test ketones and blood glucose. So go back to episode 68, it's all about testing. But I will reiterate, the range for ketosis is 0.5 to 3 millimoles. When you first start keto, and forgive me for repeating myself because I, you know, have a lot of similar podcast episodes. What's going to happen at first is that your ketones will probably start to be pretty high. You might get high readings in like the twos and threes, and you'll be like, yeah, I'm really cooking. I'm in ketosis. And then once you've been in ketosis for quite a while, like a few months, your ketones will start to really go down to like 0.5 to the 1.2 or 3 range overall in general. And this is different for every person, of course, depending on what their macros are and what sort of level of ketosis they want to be in. But general nutritional ketosis, you'll hang out in those lower ranges. And this, it kind of feels frustrating. You're like, I used to be in this high level of ketosis. But honestly, what's happening is that your body, again, is getting better at using the ketones, so less of them will show up. If you test after a workout, again, you'll have fewer ketones in your blood because they will have been used for energy. So it's just, I wanted to reiterate that. Okay, so now we're going to talk about, the other thing I wanted to mention is that you also want to be testing your blood glucose if you're having trouble getting into ketosis. So if you're like, okay, I tested my ketones and I'm at like 0.4, 0.3, it's not registering, it's too low, like, why am I not getting into ketosis? Test your blood sugar, because if your blood sugar is like 100 or more, you probably won't be in ketosis, because higher blood sugar is going to lead to insulin release, which is going to stop the liver's production of ketones. So that is really important to know. So now when we think about going into ketosis, what we're going to do is the steps to do that is, first of all, first and foremost, before we even think about food, we're going to think about electrolytes. So electrolytes are these little minerals that help to conduct electricity in our bodies. We are electrical beings. So if you have just plain water inside of you, you can't conduct those electrical signals fast enough. So if you don't have a lot of electrolytes, your everything in your body is going to be slowed down and you're going to feel extremely tired and weak and sluggish. So this is what happened to me, not surprisingly, when I started keto. I felt like I was walking through mud. It felt like I picked up my arm and like it weighed 1,000 pounds. I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? I remember I was working in a school at the time and I just felt like I was, like wading through mud in the hallway. I was like, what sensation is this? It was electrolyte deficiency. So, or imbalance, because at the beginning, your electrolytes go crazy. So the reason why electrolytes are such a big thing on keto is that if you think about the word carbohydrate, the hydrate part, carbs help to keep water and keep fluid in your body. So they kind of bloat you, you know? If you eat a lot of carbs, the next day you wake up bloated because of all the carbohydrates. So when you take out carbs, it kind of acts as like a water pill or a sugar pill, whatever that saying is. And the water just comes right out. So I remember seeing this meme when I first went keto and I was hysterical, and it said something about like, I'm too busy to be worrying about my problems because all I'm doing is peeing. And so at the beginning of keto, you end up having to go to the bathroom a lot and you're peeing a lot because you're getting rid of all that water. So you will lose a bunch of water weight at the beginning, but we don't pee water. So we need to replace all the minerals that we're losing, which are our electrolytes. So if we think about it, we have calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, chloride, and sulfate. Okay, I did it. So those are the six electrolytes, and those are the ones that we need to replace. So there are many electrolyte solutions. One of my favorite is 40,000 volts. It is available on Fullscript. You can check it out there. That's by Trace Minerals, or you can just get the Trace Mineral Drops. I love to use Redmond Real Salt. They have been a sponsor for the show many times. I will also put their information in the show notes as well, so you can grab some Redmond's Real Salt and put that in your water. And what else? You can use cream of tartar for potassium, so that's an easy one that you might already have in your fridge at home. And then there are a plethora of electrolyte solutions. I'm really going to recommend something here based on my past experience and the experience of my clients, is that I recommend not getting an electrolyte sort of solution that's flavored because it will have artificial sweeteners in it. You know how I feel about artificial sweeteners, but also these artificial sweeteners in there can increase insulin and also block you from getting into ketosis. Again, they will also keep your palate sort of trained to want a sweet taste. They made me have these ravenous cravings. A client of mine told me that she was like, Dani, I feel so freaking hungry. I don't know what I'm doing. Like my appetite, I feel like I could eat the house right now. I'm like, are you having these artificial sweeteners? She's like, yeah, I have the two different electrolyte solutions with them in it. And I was like, take them out. She took them out that very same day that she took them out. She's like, my appetite regulated. So they can potentially cause you to have blood sugar crashes, cravings, like a ferocious appetite. So make sure you're getting these ones that are clear. So when a lot of people think about electrolytes, they're like, oh, Gatorade and Pedialyte. No, not those. Do not have those. Even just doing a quick Amazon search will show you that if you do like keto electrolyte solutions, unflavored, put those search terms in and you'll find a ton of them. And you can play around with different ones because they all have these minerals in different ratios and you don't really know what your body is going to be missing. And the next question you're going to ask is, how many electrolytes do I take? This is going to be where you need to find your sweet spot. So at the beginning, I was taking electrolytes, and you know when you're taking too many, when you have to run to the bathroom. That's about as graphic as I will be with that, but that's when you know. So that's your threshold, and maybe back it off a little bit from there. But if you feel symptoms of feeling tired still, if you're feeling weakness, if you're feeling that heaviness, if you have foot cramps or any sort of cramping, that's a huge sign of magnesium deficiency. You'll definitely want to up the electrolytes. And at the beginning, it could be like, oh my God, I'm having so many electrolytes and so much salt. It's okay. Like your body needs it. My body took a while to get used to electrolytes, and now I never have an issue with it, almost ever. Like I never feel like I have a problem, but it took me about 3 months to really get my electrolytes right. So keep playing with it, keep tinkering with it. And then the other thing is magnesium supplementation. This is not medical advice and blah, blah, blah. Check with your doctor. Do this smartly. But magnesium supplementation is really, really safe. Magnesium is one of those electrolytes, and it gets depleted really easily. Our soils are really depleted. Magnesium deficiency itself can cause insulin resistance. So most of us are extremely deficient in magnesium. Oh, and one more fun fact, you need 56 molecules of magnesium to process one molecule of glucose. So if you are coming to this diet from having eaten a ton of carbs in the past, then that's going to be a problem. So you're going to be very magnesium deficient. So Epsom salt baths are great because it has the magnesium and the sulfate. You can do magnesium topical sprays, but honestly, that might not be enough. And so I also recommend to consider supplementing with magnesium. I love magnesium glycinate. If you do magnesium citrate, it might make you run to the bathroom too often because that will bring water into your intestines. So it makes you kind of go to the bathroom. So if you stick with like glycinate, aspartate, orotate, there's a bunch of different forms of magnesium, but if you stick with some of those that don't cause you to go to the bathroom extra, you should be in good shape. So increase your magnesium if you need to. So that is kind of the electrolyte talk that I wanted to have with you all. And if you get your electrolytes right, you will really mitigate all those symptoms of the keto flu because it's really mostly an electrolyte issue. Those symptoms are mostly an electrolyte issue. But there also is the issue of the sugar withdrawal. So that is something, that's why I recommend to kind of taper your way in and work your way in slowly so you won't have such bad sugar withdrawal symptoms. So then when you're thinking about going into ketosis, that's when we start to think about, okay, what are the macro ratios that we need to get into ketosis? So I always recommend eating a real food ketogenic diet. So this means you're cooking your food from home. It's essentially like a paleo template with the carbs and starchy foods and the fruit removed. I also recommend starting with no fruit. This is hardcore, but this is going to yield the best results because fruit can really trigger sweet cravings. It does in me anyway, and several other people who I've talked to. They're like, oh, I was doing really great with keto for the past few days, and then I had some raspberries after my lunch, and then I was craving sugar all day. That's happened to me many times. So to make this easier on yourself, to get rid of those cravings, you want to go in like, you want to get rid of those carbs like cold turkey almost, and get rid of all of them because they can trigger cravings. So my cravings didn't go away on keto for at least a month. And so it can take some time. And then another thing I want to kind of steer you away from is doing things like fat bombs, because you can kind of use those that you can use fat bombs to replace your old bad habits carried over from your standard American diet to into this new lifestyle. So I'm going to give, again, an example from me. When I made fat bombs, at first I made them with sweetener. Forget it. I was like, I could eat the entire tray in one sitting. It was insane. I'm like, okay, now I'm binge eating on keto. Like, this is what I want to avoid. This is what I'm coming from. So I stopped adding the sweetener. But of course, they're still so like satiating. They're made with like peanut butter and coconut butter and raw chocolate and whatever. I was still overeating them and thinking about them, like I would be on my drive home like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have the fat bombs and I'm gonna have two of them tonight. Like I was having to moderate myself. Again, that is that sugar dragon talking. The sugar dragon didn't care that there was no sugar in there. It was still a treat. And I still had those like mental battles with the sugar dragon, like how many, you know, fat bombs can I have? And what it did was it replaced beneficial nutrient-dense food that I wanted to eat. So I went home and I had a few fat bombs instead of having, you know, a beautiful ribeye steak with grass-fed butter and vegetables, which have tons of nutrients and it's satiating. And instead, I just had like peanut butter and coconut butter, which does not have nearly as many nutrients and it's not what you need. So it's going to make the process easier if you stick to real food. Okay, so then you're going to think about changing your macros. And so we want, and this is a general starting point, we're going to want to start with between 60 and 70% fat, upwards of 70. That's kind of where we're going to aim towards. Then we're going to do about 20 to 25% protein and about 5 to 10% carbohydrates. Some people will do 20 net carbs. Net carbs are calculated when you subtract you take your carbs and then you subtract fiber and you subtract sugar alcohols. Ideally, you won't be eating foods with sugar alcohols in them, so that won't be an issue. However, a lot of people will do the 20 net carb thing and kind of come up short. They're not getting into ketosis and all this because all those sugar alcohols, all those fibers that they're subtracting, they don't quite work the exact same as they should, or like certain fibers are not really slowing down the absorption of glucose. So the reason why you subtract fiber is because fiber is a carbohydrate, but it doesn't raise your blood glucose. And the other thought is that it also will stop or slow the absorption of the glucose, so it won't have that much of an effect on your blood sugar. But there are certain processed foods that are out there where you'll read the ingredients, and there are these keto products. You'll read the ingredients and it will say something like acacia fiber and corn fiber and psyllium fiber and this fiber. So it's just like they make this product and throw all different types of fibers in it. First of all, that has got to be terrible on your digestion and your gut. That already doesn't feel well, even just thinking about it. But they'll throw all these fibers in, and not all of them are really good at keeping the blood sugar low or reducing sort of the speed at which the blood sugar is, or the sugar is absorbed into the bloodstream. So the other alternative is to do 50 carbs total. And in using this sort of methodology, you really don't even want to think about these, like, you don't want to kind of count the carbs of green vegetables or like bell peppers or these vegetables that are really, really like really low in carbohydrates. And I also would encourage you to stay away from just having spinach at all these meals, because it's a very low carb vegetable and people go spinach crazy when they start keto. And it is filled with oxalates, which bind to your minerals and it prevents them from being absorbed in your body. So it will bind to calcium, magnesium, and iron and take them out of your body. And wouldn't you know, calcium and magnesium are electrolytes. So again, don't overdo it on the spinach, and ideally not raw spinach. At least cook it and drain the water out of it. There are other high oxalate foods like almonds and Swiss chard and even chocolate, but having those things in really small quantities can help to mitigate those negative effects of the oxalates. So we talked about having 50 carbs per day, and then let's talk about tracking. So at the very beginning, it will be important to sort of track your meals, and I like to use the app Carb Manager. I would advise you not to put in like that you want to lose weight and things like that, because it will tell you only eat like 1200 calories a day. I shared this on the podcast before, but they did that with my aunt who's like 5'10". I'm like, no, don't only eat 1200 calories. That's ridiculous. So don't pay attention to the calories. Eat until you feel full and use your own body's hunger signals and ignore what the app says in terms of like what it recommends in terms of calories. The other thing I want to caution you about with tracking is that I don't want, and I've talked about this before, I don't want this app to sort of override your bodily symptoms and feelings. And then I also don't want you to look at it and be like, oh, I can have 6 more carbs today, so I'm going to go have, you know, a handful of this. Don't do that. Like, don't eat. Just eat what your body feels is right, okay? So start with tracking, though, because what you want to be able to do is learn how to eyeball a plate. You want to look at a plate and be like, okay, I think I have enough fat, enough protein, and few enough carbs. So that's sort of the goal. And then that would sort of help to get you in ketosis. So you track a little bit, you're learning about your macros, you're seeing how different foods and things affect your blood sugar, you're testing your ketones every day, maybe before dinner, like I recommended in episode 68, that's the best time to test, and you're seeing whether or not you're in ketosis. All the while, you're having lots of electrolytes, lots of magnesium, lots of salt, good quality salt, not table salt, and You also may want to use a seaweed seasoning, because if you're getting rid of table salt, you want to make sure you're getting iodine. You're prioritizing eating fatty fish and other seafood, because that will also get you iodine, which is something that a lot of people get deficient on a keto diet. I myself did. One symptom of iodine deficiency is hair loss, and my hair, I noticed, was thinning a little bit, and I added back in iodine and it stopped the shedding of the hair. So that is something that you'll want to try. And then you want to go easy the first few days that you're in ketosis. Like, plan it to be, let's say, a weekend, maybe a long holiday weekend, where you'll be able to sit home. You won't be doing too much and you'll be able to relax and go for walks if you can. That'll really help. But the transition to getting into ketosis should not be horrible. It should be uncomfortable or like, oh, that sucked. But it shouldn't be like, this is the worst thing ever. This is terrible. So if that's happening to you, backtrack, hydrate yourself with those electrolytes, because you might be very deficient from having tried it at first. And start over, start with the hacks, go back to that last episode and make sure you have done all those steps, and then try again. And remember, real food, you get lots of electrolytes and things from vegetables. So if you're doing a keto diet over a carnivore diet, you'll get a little bit more help in the way of electrolytes. And if you're debating between keto and carnivore, go keto first. Like, don't go all the way there, you know? And of course, there's going to be exceptions for that. But in general, I would say try keto first and then slowly work on taking out some of those veggies and going more meat and animal based. So yeah, so okay, we're at 36 minutes. I did a really good job of staying under an hour. I'm trying to make these episodes a little bit shorter, so my goal is under 40 minutes. And so I think I'm going to stop here, but I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I had to cut out the updates. I cut out the gratitude portion, but I am so grateful for you again listening to these episodes. I'm so grateful to just be alive. That's how I'm feeling today. I am grateful for friendship and love and air and water and my breath and my computer. Literally, I feel really good doing these episodes for you all. And I'm going to have some awesome guests coming up, which I'm really excited about. And yeah, thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for listening to these episodes. Thank you for liking my quirkiness and my style, because I know it's not for everybody, but I appreciate everyone who comes back week after week. And thank you so much for leaving reviews. It helps the podcast to grow. So please, if you haven't already, consider leaving a review on iTunes or on the Apple Podcast app, because that is how the show grows. That's how iTunes will know to put it in front of new people. And if you like this show, please share it with someone you love who might use this episode, might use this information to help their health. And yeah, thanks so much. And I will see you again for another episode next week. Have a great week, everybody. Love you guys. Bye.